Well now, do you remember as children there used to be a little saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Oh yes, they will. And they did, didn't they? You know, very often. And we've said a lot about the name of Jesus already this morning in our service. And some people that perhaps, you know, aren't Christians wonder, you know, why such a focus on a name? And of course, names are important. They're still important. Look at the way parents wrestle over naming a baby, you know. And they can also convey all kinds of things. Perhaps you have a name that you're aware has some kind of meaning. Certainly in the biblical period, as in many other cultures today, the name given to a person often said something about their character or was making some kind of statement about them or expressed a hope for them. I remember meeting a couple in the early 90s. I think they were sort of a Ghanaian background. And they named their first child Kaforola. And of course I said to them, now does that mean something? And they said yes. Do you know, it meant something like a gift from God or the grace of God in their own language. I mean, isn't that lovely? And as I've mentioned, as Christians we use the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. We say, as we sung, he has the name above all names. And as you heard in that prayer of Jesus recorded in John 17, when Jesus prayed for us, he said he protected us by the power of the name he had been given and asked that we be protected by the power of God's name. So it set me thinking, and I'd like to just share and reflect for a few moments this morning. What does it mean to be living according to the name of Jesus? What does it mean to live according to the name of Jesus? Well, firstly, if we understand his name, we get something. We're told that the name of Jesus has a meaning right at the story, at the beginning of the story of his life. It's in Matthew 1, when the angel appears to Mary, reading we use at Christmas so often, and tells her that she is going to have a supernaturally conceived child. And the angel says that the child is to be called Jesus, which means, do you know what it means? The Lord saves. The Lord saves, that's right. Now, it was actually a common name. But in the text, the angel then says just a few words more which underline the importance that we're meant to see in Jesus being that, given that name. And it's quite simply this: for he will save people from their sins. So a common name was given that special significance. Jesus is going to take action to be a rescuer and deliver people from their sins. Wow! He hasn't been born yet, but his purpose is given in his name to rescue people. So, gives us the first thing. If we live according to the name of Jesus, we are a people of purpose. Yeah? We're on a rescue mission. And we learn what that mission is as the rest of the biblical story in the New Testament unfolds. It's to keep people from going their own way, to find their identity, purpose, and significance in life through all that God has made known in Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. I think many of us recognize, most of us recognize that. So we would say, life is most fully lived if we reflect the character of Jesus. Life is most fully lived if we reflect the character of Jesus. But, and here's the but, folks. Even this most basic and starter for 10 of truths gets missed, doesn't it? Perhaps you're puzzled. But let me say this. I don't know about you, but I have met more than my fair share of self-centered, status-seeking, insensitive, and hypocritical people who are also self-professed Christians. Anybody with me on that one? Show of hands. Now, not that I'm expecting perfection or anything. To be a Christian is to recognize that we're all imperfect and fallen and sinful. But it should it not, folks, be the case that in following Jesus, we want to be like him. And that should mean my character. And what I'm aiming for in my character is hugely important. So are we reflecting what we can of the character of Jesus? Are we living according to his name? Let's just have a look at a few key features of his character. And having stated already that in following Jesus we are a people of purpose, we've got a commission in life, let me highlight something else that comes to us even before he was born. That's this. If we're to reflect the name or the character of Jesus, we need to be vulnerable and humble. Vulnerable and humble. I think this means that we willingly and honestly put ourselves in a place of exposure, admitting that we get weak and hurt. It's laying aside any power and influence that we may have over other people. And you might think, well, I don't have power and influence, but you do actually. You know, if you're in conversation to people and you're wanting them to do and handle a situation as you would want them to do, that's power. What we've actually got to do is let go and let people do what they feel is the right thing, even if it's wrong. Because that's being vulnerable and humble. It's not having to be right all the time. You know, the church has been damaged and continues to be damaged by people who, well, you know, unless you believe what I believe, you're not sound. All right? And if you're not sound, then you're not acceptable. They might be right. They might not be. Consider the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus coming into the world. And the Apostle Paul expresses it perfectly, again in verses that we read very often. Though he, Jesus, was God, he did not think of equality with God, something to cling to. Instead, what did he do? He gave up. He humbled himself. He took the humble position of a slave and was born of a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So, second thing, the name of Jesus gives us a purpose. Living according to the name of Jesus means we also grow the qualities of vulnerability and humility. And can I just add in, it's probably going to be a few minutes extra, and forgive me for it, but there was a thing on Facebook this week that rocked me to my core, and it was about a female clergy member of the Church of England who had committed suicide because she didn't find anybody to help her. And the piece in Facebook was written by somebody else, and it took the tone that Yes, it's so difficult for clergy and church leaders to find people to be of help, because if they admit their weaknesses, people will think less of them. And that will go against them. And perhaps as far as the hierarchy is concerned, it will live with them for you know, further appointments. And I'm left thinking, am I reading the same Bible? Am I following the same Jesus? Surely it's about admitting to be weak and vulnerable. And you get help when you do that. Don't do that and you isolate yourself. When you isolate yourself, you think you're the only person in the world with that particular problem, and Satan comes in and kicks you further down the road. Until perhaps ultimately you take that atrocious step. Perhaps I make it sound too basic and easy, but I just, you know, it so happens we are to be weak and vulnerable as the people of God. Admit our weaknesses, be open about those weaknesses, seek help when we're struggling. That's what we're supposed to be here together for. There you go. Here's a third quality. Before we've even got to his public ministry, and this is something else that we learn about Jesus from the gospel records, and something else that strikes me as vital. Be prepared to live in a way that you are being interdependent. Links in, doesn't it? You see, being humble and vulnerable. Be interdependent. Be in relationship with others, submissive relationship with others, communicable relationship with others. Jesus wasn't alone, and he wasn't a loner. Now, understandably, I don't think that this is something at the forefront of our thinking, but it's actually a very practical application of what we believe about God. That God is Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God in three persons. And see if you can bear this out with me. If you look at Scripture, for Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit were constantly involved in what Jesus was doing. And that means we can therefore say, as those in Christ, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are constantly at work in us. And we must recognize that interdependence. Reflect on this with me by going to Luke's record of the baptism of Jesus. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens were opened, we're told, and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and bring me great joy." See, at Jesus' baptism, the beginning of his public ministry, the Holy Spirit and the Father make a revelation of themselves. They're involved in that act at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And on the basis of our acceptance and understanding of the doctrine of the Trinity, we can say that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present and active in our lives, in all that we do, when we live according to the name of Jesus. Further evidence of that is John records Jesus as saying, John 5:19-20, when he's talking to the disciples, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing." Now, reams have been written on that verse, I know, but I think at base, is it not showing that Father, Son, Spirit are in constant cooperation and interdependence? And so for you and I, reflecting the name of Jesus, the character of Jesus, means living in a way that constantly recalls our connectedness to the Trinity. Father and Son and Spirit. It means being aware of the truth that we live in and need to develop community, and that we rejoice in, as well as model, interdependence. Being dependent on one another. Heavy section, that. Are you with me? Connectedness, community, interdependence. You didn't expect that this morning, did you? So that's the third thing. Vulnerability and humility. Purpose, interdependence. Next, I'm going to put it like this. An acceptance of and a redefining of those considered to be outcasts. That's part of our purpose, part of our connectedness to Him, part of our reflecting His name and character. An acceptance and redefining of those considered to be outcasts. Now, this is one of the qualities of Jesus that actually, if you think about it, we know well. Matthew 8 tells us of the guy with leprosy who came to Jesus. And you'll recall from all the sermons that you've heard over the years, I'm sure, that that disease made him an outcast. It made him untouchable. And the man approaches Jesus, Son of God, kneels before him and says, Lord, if you are willing, he was hesitant about this. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And what does Jesus do? Reaches out, touches him. Touches him! Get the significance of that in the context. Touches the outcast, the unclean one. I am willing, he says. Be healed. And then he advised him to get himself pronounced clean and well so that he could be restored into society. And you know from your reading in the New Testament that Jesus did the same with the demonized, he did the same with the paralyzed, he did the same with the blind, all of the outcasts. And then there's his treatment of women. Wow. Jesus should never have spoken in his day to a woman of questionable morality, and certainly not a Samaritan woman of questionable morality. But he did so at the well. He shouldn't have allowed a woman with a flow of blood to touch him. He shouldn't have allowed the woman to anoint him with oil because she was deemed to be a sinner, an outcast. He shouldn't have treated the woman caught in adultery in the way that he did. But he did. He did. He accepted and redefined the way that women were to be seen and their place in society. And then there's those who were victims of prejudice. And even in the New Testament, there were plenty of those around. Take the Samaritans. Oh, what a bad lot. Don't have anything to do with them. If you're a good Jew, outcasts, unsound, awful group of people. But then Jesus told a story about a stranger who was kind to someone who had been attacked by robbers. What was the nationality of the stranger? Samaritan. A good Samaritan? Yes, says Jesus. Yes. So you see, to live according to the name of Jesus means we accept and redefine those considered to be outcasts. Let me do a couple of more things. You probably have expected me to say, as we reflect on the name and character of Jesus, that we need to be compassionate. So indeed I will. Compassionate is the next thing. We see it in Jesus so clearly. He was tired and in need of a rest. In the company of some of his disciples, he'd sailed along the shore of Galilee to find a quiet spot and recharge. But the crowds followed him. And Mark tells us, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And this sort of compassion is something that Jesus tells us directly that we need to reflect. Luke 6:36, you must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. So compassion, the fifth thing. Sixth thing, again, you probably expect this one. Forgiving. Forgiving. How many times should I forgive? Seven? That seems a lot. And what does Jesus say? 77. Yeah, you know it. To live according to the name of Jesus means we forgive those who offend us constantly and repeatedly. And again, as we think of such qualities of character, you might have expected me to refer to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will certainly recognize that they are attributes of the character of Jesus. And yes, if we are going to live according to his name, we should endeavor to grow those fruit in our lives. But that does give opportunity to stress as well, it is a process. Oh, thank goodness for that. Praise the Lord. It doesn't happen instantly. Growth doesn't happen instantly. Fruit is the product of a process of growth. But it is for us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and grow the fruit of Christ-like character. One more. And I'm going to put that this way. Transforming the now through the presence and vision of the future kingdom. This is such a quality ingrained in the gospel accounts and in the ministry of Jesus, isn't it? We know that it's central to the ministry, to the preaching of Jesus. It was the announcement that he made. The kingdom of God is near. Here. Mark 1, verse 15. The kingdom of God is found in and through the person of Jesus. His ministry gave demonstration of the presence of the kingdom. His compassion, his love, his acceptance and redefining. He brought to people a way through. He brought them light in their darkness. He brought them truth. He brought them hope and he brought them life. And all those things are indicative of what we can do and will inherit through him at the end of our lives or the close of time. John's gospel is structured around those things, the I am sayings. He makes a statement and he fulfills it in action. And living according to the name of Jesus means that we do the same. To put it very simply, we could perhaps, before we go to sleep tonight, reflect on the question and every other night, whose life did I allow Jesus to touch through me today? We have a purpose. If we live according to the name of Jesus, we need to be vulnerable and humble. We need to be interdependent. We need to accept and redefine those considered to be outcasts. We need to be compassionate. We need to be forgiving. We need to grow the fruit. We need to transform the now through the presence and vision of the future kingdom. So I conclude. Living according to the name or character of Jesus is a hugely important part of discipleship. Yes, we need to be kind and patient with one another, but we should certainly be committed to the process. We can't own the name of Jesus and not reflect that name. Sadly, we can, I suppose, but we shouldn't. Definitely. As we cooperate with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there should be a desire for change in our own lives. A change that shows that our deepest desire is to indeed honour the name of Jesus. You know that t-shirt, don't you? Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. And when the time comes for us to bow before the one who has the name above all names, the one to whom indeed every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the longing of my own heart is that we do so with awe and humility and with no regret.